galactic civil war spreads across the sun. From the height of Coruscant to fiery Mustafar, to fight the evil empire, four people join the fray. These are the heroes of the Hydean way.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a Star Wars actual play podcast, and we're playing in Edge Studios Age of Rebellion. This is Act 1, Episode 3 of The Hard Road. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure. I use they-them pronouns.
Hi, I'm Erica. I use she-her pronouns, and I'm playing Norrin Gremian, who uses they-them pronouns, an engineer scientist.
Hi, I'm Zach. I use they-them pronouns. I'd be playing Shin Shazen. Uses he-him pronouns, and he's an infiltrator-interrogator.
Hi, I'm Endry. I use she-they pronouns, and I'll be playing Isacel An. She uses she-her pronouns, and she's a ship pilot and captain.
All right. To start off with, we probably should get a Destiny Pool going.
Ooh, yes.
D space R.
Space R.
Yep. Got
no!
It.
Space R. There we go.
Yes.
Yay!
I mean, this is a very Genesis pool.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
How very D1.
I mean, it's D1. D1 does things.
D1 does as D1 will.
We left off with three of the characters heading off with Administrator Bromuth to investigate the offices of the mining facility, to see if there's any clues as why no organic ships have arrived inside the last 6 weeks at this mining facility in the Naboo system. It is cleaned almost entirely because there are cleaning droids. It is amazingly clean, but you can tell that there are specific areas where there is collections of discarded things that the general workers have been just leaving around. So there's sort of a collection pile of almost a lost and found every 5 to 6 entrances. There'll be this little pile off to the side of things that have been left that are very obviously not trash, but also just left around. As you're being led through this, you can see one of the cleaning droids looks a little bit like a small track droid with a front blade, kind of like a bulldozer, and a couple arms coming off the top, somewhat like a treadwell, where they can reach down and deal with items, but also it is definitely able to move many things out of the way. Sort of like a ruggedized mouse droid.
Yeah.
Where it even has, like, the tracks on the side. Air is, you can tell that they're mining for ore here, because pretty much everything that you're smelling has that little tinge of metal in the air. Like, every breath you're taking, you can smell a tiny bit of seemingly burnt metal. As you're going through the facility, Bromuth and their assistant brings you to a fairly large room. You can see that some of it is overhanging an area as you enter in over to your left-hand side. There is a large projected window out and big columns holding it in place. The wall itself is pretty much all glass, and even a bit of the floor, about 3 feet back from the big window, also looks to be glass. And as you look out through there, you can see the entire mining operation. You can see a bunch of humans, several Gungans down there. There's the organic workers. You can see each of them around a droid that seems to be doing the majority of the cutting, and the organics are sorting the metal and getting the actual flex that they're wanting onto conveyor belts. Off to the right-hand side is a bank of computers and comm gear. in the middle, there's a control desk that takes up about three chairs, and each one is currently occupied. Each of them have a boom microphone with a headset. Each one seems to be...
Team 1, no, not in that direction. Go 12 degrees to your left.
That sort of thing. All three of them have like little hollow displays in front of them, and they seem to be directing multiple teams down on the excavation floor. Then there's Bromus' office on the far side. It looks to be a pretty standard office. Larger, more ornate looking desk, but barely. And a bunch of papers in a sorting filing stack, along with their own computer on their desk. There are some computer access towards the back of the office, if you're willing to look into that. There are also the people here. Off close to where Bromo's office is a small desk with a chair that isn't currently occupied, but it has what you're pretty sure is a radar scope on it, and you're pretty sure that this is where the person that you were talking to during your landing would have been seated.
So, Admin Bromid, do you mind if we begin to do a little looking around through your papers?
Oh, no. All of our records can be accessed through those terminals over there, and he points towards computer terminals towards the right-hand side.
Norrin goes over to the computer terminals on the right-hand side.
Do you have a last known location for these lost shipments, where I'm sure there was some radio contact at some point, right?
They were supposed to be coming from our supply facility.
They didn't have any fuel stop-offs between here and there?
No, there's a supply depot that is a little bit coreward from here. This is their first hop between here, and then they continue on after this. They're normally coming in from Arandor and making their way to us. It's a pretty standard route. We've been up in operation for 35 years at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a big moon, and we have a lot of veins to be mining out.
And this is only... you've only just been losing shipments.
Only in the last 6 weeks. The one that was supposed to show up 10 weeks ago showed up.
What's on these shipments?
These are our normal organic supply shipments. We do have droid ships that are ore barges, essentially. And as they come through, they collect the ore that we mine and move it to the processing facilities. Most of our supplies for food and the rest of the niceties, plus also people that we're expecting for mid and upper management, are supposed to be coming in on these ships, and we haven't seen any. Supplies were starting to get a little scant, but now, thanks to your shipment, we'll at least be able to stretch what we have for probably another 3-4 weeks. Which hopefully we should have an actual shipment arrive, and we can start working back up.
Yikes.
We haven't heard anything about missing shipments or missing ships. Normally, we'd expect Tajko to investigate.
But they haven't even seemed to notice?
For some strange reason, no.
Have you been in contact with them in the last 6 weeks? Have they told you that the shipments are on their side? Have shown to come in.
There are people on these ships that have just gone missing, and nobody seems to have noticed.
And you're sure there's nothing of value besides supplies? Like, there, I mean, nothing that you may not be able...
At this point, I do want to get vigilance or perception check. Both seem actually apt to me.
Perception?
Essentially, how well is this guy holding his cool?
I mean, I'm pretty good at perception, like, if y'all want me to lead on that one.
Is this something you want one person check to roll?
Want to do a group check, I'm fully there for a group check. Or I'm also there for individuals. That I do leave up to y'all.
That would be one yellow or two green from Norin, so...
I got two yellow for Isased.
And I've got one yellow and or three green. So, I mean, I guess it would be what? Two yellow and a green if we use...
Two yellow, green, and a blue if all three of us do it together.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, right. Captain?
As we stare this man down.
I mean, this is a person who is normally dealing with upper management, so they do have a little bit of cool on them. The difficulty you're going up against is two purple and one red.
Two purple and one red?
Darn middle management.
Yeah, he is bottom rung of middle management.
All right, let's... And you know what? I'm going to use one of those destiny points. Let's start strong. I'm going three yellow.
But we've got three light side, one dark side.
So now we're going to balance out with two light, two dark. I'm going to roll that.
Nice.
Ooh.
Nice.
All right, so you've succeeded. You have succeeded telling that, yeah, he's been... Well, you see, on the first of those shipments, we were due to have some of our time-redundant parts delivered for our Hypercom unit, and, well, since it actually is shut down, we can't get a signal out and we can't get a signal in.
So communications are down.
That too, yes.
So you don't actually know if no one's noticed these missing shipments. It could be possible that they've been trying to communicate with you about the missing shipments and you haven't been able to get that. Yeah? Am I misunderstanding something here?
No. You seem to have grasped it all, yes.
Is this something that we could maybe route through our ship comms? Are we even on the right side of the planet for that?
I mean, something has to be working because they made an order to us, so.
That is true. Who hired us, then?
Once our supplies, especially our food supplies, start getting low, I did put out a communication on the emergency comm, but I haven't heard back on any official channel.
Is that a broadcast only, like a emergency beacon type?
Did you know to expect us?
No, I did not. This is a surprise, a very pleasant surprise, and you do have a lot of the things that we are needing. Pretty much everything that I put into the call, but... No, this was a surprise.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Our emergency comms is not very good at long-distance reception.
All right, well, first things first, getting comms back online, and Norn starts typing away at the computer.
Okay, I want to get a average... Yeah, this will be a mechanical check.
Okay.
Two purple mechanics check to essentially diagnose what's wrong with the comms/hypercoms.
I mean, it's the same role either way, but why mechanics instead of computers? I'm just curious.
Okay, I don't actually have a good answer for that. I was just figuring mechanics. On account of, it would be more... It would also incorporate some things like cable checking and that sort of stuff. Whereas computers would be just with the typing. And
you're doing the unplugging and plugging back in checks. Blowing on all the cable ends and... Yeah.
All right, so yellow, green. What was the difficulty you said?
Two purple.
So that is purple.
Either one that you're wanting to use, it does sort of change how the outcome would be, like how it would be described.
I'm at a computer. I'm going to go with computers first.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yellow, green, purple. I'm not going to bother arguing for a boost. Boop.
Nice.
Three successes and an advantage.
All right.
I know what I'm about on this computer. Most at home.
So for the three successes, it'll get you three broad truths about the system. One is that it stopped working about 5 weeks ago. One of the power amplifiers on it went kapoof in a somewhat dramatic fashion, though no one was actually able to see it because it was out in the vacuum. But ever since this event about 5 weeks ago, broadcast range has been severely restricted. It seems like it can only transmit within system for the main communication system. The backup that they're supposed to have on hand recently was used, and that actually was the one that went kapoom. They've been blind sending the requests every on essentially Monday. They've been sending in request, and they've not seen any yet. And there's a list of spares that just seems to be growing and growing for things that they're needing.
And I'm guessing Norrin tells us this, correct?
So the problem with the long-range comms is that the power amplifier out in the void had an explosive malfunction. And that will need to be replaced. Actually, if the amplifier went kapoof, that probably damaged the system itself too. So maybe the whole thing would need to be replaced, more than just that one part would need to be replaced, yeah?
Very likely, but there's one way to find out.
Yeah, so somebody's going to have to go and check out that.
We've just been transmitting that you're low on supplies to whoever's near enough to hear.
Yeah, for 5 weeks.
That could be bad too.
And we're the first to respond.
Wait a second. So one ship goes missing, you start sending this out, and all of a sudden you have not been getting any supplies, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Isasel just looks over to Shen and Nora and's like, there's a lot of people would take advantage of such a signal.
I smell a law threat.
What happened to the first amplifier? Because this was the backup that exploded. What happened to the first one?
There was a meteor shower that happened. It was predicted, but the shield around it was offline for some reason. I'm not entirely certain what it was.
Your main comm relay? The shield was down during a meteor shower?
We're not exactly in Tachko's most highly prized facility. Their quotas have gone up a lot recently, but they're just making us work more. Well, the miners more. They've doubled their quota that they want from us, which is causing equipment to run out a lot faster. And we've been trying to scavenge what we can to keep the mining facility going, and some of the parts are cross-compatible. Just, we have to keep the mining facility going, otherwise bad things happen. And the last thing we want to do is not meet our quotas for Tachko.
What happens if you don't meet your quotas?
Well, the first time they stop the Biscuit Baron runs. The second time they send in the audit crew with the requisite security forces, and then if it's still not, and if any of our mining is for a military contract, then Imperial auditors will start coming in.
Okay, so first they try and starve you out, and then they do a show of force.
Yes.
And we're in between those two things right now.
I would not have expected so, because we have been meeting our quotas. It has been hard, but the miners have been able to meet these quotas. If they up them again, I don't know if we're going to be able to, at least not without more equipment, but so far we have been able to, barely.
And you said 10 weeks ago was your last incoming shipment. Were there any personnel dropped off that you weren't expecting, or just new to the installation?
Well, there was one, Herr Tisit, but they're in mining operations. I wouldn't have expected. They don't normally deal with anything that is in maintenance.
Girl, before we go talking to this here, I think we have to make sure to fix these communications. In good faith, I could not leave you like this. I do have an idea, though.
Thank you.
Captain, where are we going to get parts for this? You going to pull them off the ship?
Don't worry. I have an idea. We have two down relays, but there's very little chance that the parts in one are the same destroyed parts in the other. So what I need, I look over to Admin Bromith and go, I need a small ship I can borrow, a few suits to go out, like on a spacewalk, and what are these called? The cables. The tow cables. I need a small ship with a tow cable.
Yeah. You can use one of our maintenance skiffs. They have everything that you seem to be wanting, yes.
Perfecto. Crew, let's go back to the ship and pick up some supplies, and we're about to have a fun little spacewalk. Bring the picnic.
All right, Captain.
Norrin's transferred some of the data from the computer into their own personal data pad and is typing away, and then here's the word spacewalk, and it's just like... okay. And follows along.
Don't worry, I do these all the time.
I don't.
It'll be fun. The worst thing that can happen is you push away, get lost in space, and I go find you later.
That is A, not comforting, and B, you have really good hearing.
Captain, oh my... I was confident until that point. Now I'm not so sure either.
Do not let fear control you. You control fear. Follow the confidence of your captain.
Wasn't that a political slogan once? Whatever. Whatever you say, Captain.
And I'm gonna just like kind of like, I'm gonna wave off to the admin and just start walking away. Because I need to get back to the ship for my pack with my repair tools and my emergency repair patches.
All right, I would like to establish, do we have long-range comms on our ship?
Yes.
Cool.
And we know that they still function. It's not like there's interference or anything from like magnetic fields or being too close to like a star or anything, or on the wrong side of a star. Like no blackout zones or anything. Like
there's no blackout zones. You still would be able to get in contact with ISR's main facilities.
Cool.
That's what your hypercom's normally tuned to, is the Intersector Rescue's command and control, just in case you need to radio for backup or anything.
Once we're out of earshot, Norn is gonna like look up and is like, if we suspect sabotage, we should probably set a guard on our ship to make sure nothing happens to our comms or anything.
Oh, don't worry. We have someone who likes meat and has a very large rifle with them, so I think the ship will be okay.
As long as nothing happened between here and there. You know what? I'm going to stop saying all these bad things that come to my head. Probably for the best.
All right, and with that, I'm gonna lead us back to the ship to get our stuff and go find one of these skiffs and a couple of spacesuits that'll fit this little small little ragtag crew.
I'm assuming Shen would have their own spacesuit.
Probably due to their biology. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way their legs are. Actually, it would make sense for the four players to have their own spacesuits.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is lockers near one of the airlocks on our ship with spacesuits for us.
That would make so much sense.
Specified for our species. Norrin is triple checking theirs.
You know what? Can I make a leadership check while we're getting all our spacesuits on to try to get everyone calmed down, just to get everyone breathing? Because Isasel's kind of looking at everyone just like, okay, this really is like a first for you. I've just been used to this, so we're going to breathe in and out. We're going to calm together. And then we're going to jump out of a ship.
Wait, we're jumping?
Norrin is ignoring you.
Though, I think from the last time we did a leadership check, with I think right when we were coming off the ship, for the next 24 hours, you still have a boost on a discipline check if you start freaking out outside.
That does sound right, yes.
I had boost 4, but didn't write what it was for.
It's for discipline checks for within that 24-hour period.
Gotcha.
Norrin will be fine. They just have a nervous disposition. They'll be fine. As they, you know, make sure and doubly make sure and triply make sure that all of their equipment is not faulty and is not going to give out on them in the void of space.
Should have had a drink before this. At least the spacesuits are new.
Don't worry. It's in ISR colors, so if, like I said, I'll come find you. Oh, this is a very obvious color. You don't see, you know, purple, gold, and green rocks out just floating in space. Most of the time. If you do, you should be worried.
Yeah, I check how much oxygen the suits have.
Will be a one red, one purple, one setback kind of a leadership check.
All right. You said one red, one purple, and what else?
One setback.
1-1-1.
Yep.
Well, get that going.
I feel like she should have 2 setbacks for both of us.
What the?
Oh, no.
I failed. I have a threat, but I have a triumph?
Yes. This system at its weirdest.
Yeah, Shin leans in towards Norrin. Did Captain say we're jumping? Like, jumping?
Yeah, no, she definitely said jumping.
Why is she so excited about that?
She seems to be excited about everything. I don't know her well enough to gauge the differences in her excitement yet.
I think I know what the triumph could be with this. This idea for the triumph I have, which is, I'm obviously not calming everyone down. These are just making it worse as this goes along. But the amount of stress I'm putting them in, they really are double checking. Everything's going to, they're like triple and double checking, actually not missing stuff. It's like, go down the whole safety checklist. Okay, go down it again. She mentioned a story about that one time she saw a shooting star and then realized the oxygen tank wasn't on the way.
Okay, that is kind of awesome. Yeah.
Grabbing more rope.
Wise idea.
A whole spool of synth cord shoved into the back of the skiff.
I got like 13 carabiners just in case.
Set of lobster claws. Everything.
Yeah. I'm just imagining Isacel is in like kind of just like the basic. She has like her utility belt, her backpack strapped on the outside, her stuff ready to go. Looks over to you two, and you're just like all the safety equipment, the flashy lights.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Any type of, if there's any sort of like some of that foil tape that's extra shiny, Shin is putting it down like strips of his arms and legs, just in case.
This repair skiff looks like someone got a hold of a U-wing and took off the wings and took off almost all of the outer armor on it. So you pretty much just say, and it only has 2 of the 4 engines. So it's got the 2 engines. It'll go places, but you don't want to go fast. It can't really go that fast. And it looks very rickety.
It doesn't need to go fast.
All right. Who wants to be on the tow cable?
I will go out on the tow cable.
Like, hook to it and going out, or operating it as like a...
Oh, operating it. Because Isacel, I'll say that. Isacel is going to be the one to jump out. She's not that mean.
Oh, I meant the one to jump out, because I look between the two of you, I might be the most technically minded person here.
Don't leave me with the captain.
Issa sounds like, don't worry, Shen, don't worry. You'll be in here to take care of the ship, because I'm also very technically minded. I fix sheeps all the time. I'm very good at it.
I suppose you'd have to be. All right.
All right, and we're going to fly the ship out. And Isasel's not going to listen to your warnings.
Shin's leg, he has one leg that's just constantly bouncing. He's just very anxious right now. Not normally this worked up, but everything's going to be fine. It'll be fine. We'll be fine. Everything's fine. We're fine.
Oh my gosh, I find from personal experience that repeating that to yourself is just going to make it worse.
Shin's not used to being so anxious. Also, not being on a skiff out in the vacuum.
So, before I do my piloting check, the last thing Isasel says when everyone's all hooked up, just like, don't worry, the worst thing that can happen is that you die. And just hits the throttle.
Oh no, that...
I am so happy. It's like the more rickety a ship, the happier I get.
Yes. Okay. So, I guess that would be a pilot space check. And depending on how the pilot space check goes, then we will get discipline checks.
Alrighty, and what's the difficulty on this pilot and space check? I'm rolling in with two yellows and a green.
It is. Let's see. This is a Silhouette 3 thing, so it will be... Are you going full speed, or are you going slightly cautious?
I'm going slightly cautious. He's on his sales being just a little cheeky right now.
Okay, in that case, it's one red, one purple, and two setback due to handling.
Ha-ha! This is why I take the things I do. So I have two ranks of skilled jockey. Remove a setback per rank of skilled jockey from the piloting space and planetary check. So I'm going to just remove those two.
Awesome.
Yeah, Isasel's really used to just flying hunk-a-junk ships. That's just how she grew up. What is going on?
Oh, no.
I'm a failure and a triumph. What?
D1 is back. With a vengeance.
That is definitely a D1 kind of role. But there is a triumph.
Oh. I'm trying to figure out what this triumph could be. Why do I have so many tonight?
Is D1 trying to confuse everyone?
Okay. I think I might be able to use the triumph for to try to direct this failure.
Okay.
I have an idea. So it's less so messing the ship up. And more so of, with the triumph, Isasel's just having too much fun and forgot to check where we're going and is going the wrong way. Just like flying around the asteroid and having fun.
Burning our oxygen.
And our fuel.
That too.
All right. I do like that. So I am figuring that as you're going out of what you're now realizing is the auxiliary hangar bay. As you're showboating and sort of getting a hang of this very pared down repair skiff, you come across the automated hangar, which currently does have an automated, like a droid-run Imperial shipping, essentially container ship-style ship, the super wedges. You can see how the containers of ore are, they're essentially just outer beams with netting on them that all the ore that is giving this particular almost iridescent blue tint as it gets loaded and loaded and loaded. You can see how the droids are flying the different containers in and out of place. It's quite a mechanical marvel how all of it's getting loaded on in such a quick and almost precise fashion.
Shin's eyes are closed.
Fair.
He's gripping whatever can be called an armrest or support, anything.
So as Isasel's flying over to by that cargo ship, looking at it and everything, she's like, well, it makes sense if someone is causing this, if a someone or something's causing this issue, why they won't attack these. They'd have to refine all that and store it. That is far more difficult than just taking a bunch of supplies. Also, look, I can do a spin move.
No!
Don't do a spin move. Please.
Oh yeah, I forgot to ask. Norin.
Aye?
So where are the comm towers? I just started flying. I actually
there's a co-pilot seat for this, right?
Yes. Yes, there
Norin is. Makes their way out of the passenger area up there, basically falls into the co-pilot seat, partially because they lost their balance and partially because, like, there was really no better way to, like, get into it. Takes a hold of the co-pilot controls, looks over at it for a second, it's just like, this way.
Much smarter idea. Let's do it together this time and I'll stop having my fun. Let's get to work.
Oh, thank you, Norin.
Can we make a group check?
Sure.
Your piloting is probably still going to be better than mine. I only have one yellow.
But you give me a boost by if we do a group check.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart getting used to this ship, so those two setbacks still like, I got my friend here. I'm going to teach Norin how to fly rickety ships that are way more dangerous than they should be. And I'm going to roll that again with a boost. Don't fail. Don't fail.
Hey.
Yay! Two successes and two advantages.
Awesome.
So yeah, Norin kind of calms me down.
That is kind of awesome. As you get there, you can see the comm arrays, like the antenna arrays there with their like so many parabolic dishes on stands and that. But you can see the crater from where the meteorite hit. You can see where the shield generators and actually the little ring of where the shield would expand out to. The crater, you can see like cables going to the edge of the crater and then just being sheared and almost like they burned a bit. And a nice little crater. And then off to the side, connected a little bit back of that cable, is another. This one actually looks to be a kind of like a cable box, like a fairly standing monolith of metal. A bunch of dials and whatnot on the sides with a couple doors on the back. This one looks to have a little bit of carbon scoring along the top, like something on the inside went crackle, crackle, and it smoked out. Guess I know space, but still.
It's Star Wars. Things burn in space all the time.
They're self-oxygenating fires.
Yeah.
I'm just more going on the direction of where it went.
Ah, gotcha.
Ah, okay.
Because electrical fires can happen anywhere.
Yay. I was saying, could we use the two advantages to park the ship in a pretty decent spot for towing and jumping?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
All right. All right, Norin, you're with me out there. Shen, be ready to pull the tow cable when we say something.
Checking the mag clamps on my boots.
Yeah, I think I've used something similar to this before. Curiously looking at the controls of the tow cable mechanism.
Would you like us to do it the easy way?
What's the easy way?
Would I be able to unlock the tow cable and just attach it to Norin's belt? You jump, and if you miss, you get pulled back.
Oh yes, you can totally go fishing with Norin.
Wait, you weren't going to do that to begin with?
Oh no, I was going to do this, and can I make a coordination check to jump out
to the relay? Yes, you can. Let's see, 0G, it is going to be a 1-1-1 check. A red, a purple, and a setback. On account of height, 0G gets the upgrade, and then weird ground stuff for the setback.
You know what? I'm not going to use a force point, destiny point here. We're going to roll this with my three greens.
Oh.
That's just because you don't want it to fail and get a triumph.
I feel like the system's coming for me.
I mean, you kind of succeeded on that.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, Isasel does the like this and just hops out of the ship from like where it was parked. And if it's two advantages, can I choose where to land?
Yes. Yes, you can.
All right. I'm going to make it look cool. She lands near the top of the relay, but like kind of just landing and like kind of putting her feet with magnetic grips onto it. So one of those, it looked for a second like she was going to miss and keep going. Waving back, just like on the comms. All right, Norin, your turn.
Well, you did volunteer.
Would you rather send her out there alone?
Ask me when you come back.
On the off chance that we might have to do this again.
Ooh, that's a good point. Okay, well.
All right. Norin is attached to the tow cable and kind of, like, maneuvers themselves, because they know how space works. They know, they understand physics. They know if they, like, exert force in one direction, they're just going to keep going in that direction. So they have to make sure that when they do apply any amount of force to themselves, they're going to go straight towards the thing.
I've got the cable feed set to neutral, so if you need me to yank you back, just calm me. Thumbs up.
They're doing mental calculations in their hand, and they just give a thumbs up back as they push themselves off the skiff towards the gravity well.
Definitely give you a boost for that. I should give you two. Otherwise, you know, take the setback off on account of the cable. So it'd be a red and a purple. It's still space.
That's still a coordination check?
Yep.
Okay. Green, green, green. Two boost die. And what was the difficulty you said?
It is one red, one purple.
Cool. Yes.
Oh, no.
That is two failures and five advantages, Cap.
there's just so many different ways that that could fail.
That doesn't look quite right.
I slipped. When I was attempting to direct myself towards the transport, I slipped and went spinning off in a different direction, in a slightly different direction.
Okay, that definitely works.
With my five advantages, can I say that I still land on the thing? Just, I have to traipse my way back to the comms.
I mean, yeah. That totally works. I am thinking that that would not use up all five, because that would be a bit on the mean side. I could see that being like three, but not five.
All right, with three advantages, I don't have to get towed back to the ship and try again.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I just have to walk somewhat shamefaced.
I'm sure they meant to do that.
No, totally not. Obviously, we have comms with each other, so we can.
Yes.
So we have short range comms with each other.
Absolutely.
Two more advantages. I will apply those advantages to as boost dies to future checks.
Okay, that sounds cool.
We're on a ship.
You're on the surface of the moon.
Okay, we're on the surface of a moon. It was unclear to me the provider class cargo ship picture, why that was there.
That was for, there's a droid ship that is collecting up cargo for their quota to get shipped out.
Okay.
And that's where Isazel was hot dogging over one of those ships.
Okay. I kind of want to inspect the shield generator because we suspect sabotage. That seems like a good place to start in figuring out if that is indeed the case.
Okay, this one, this will be a mechanics check on account of you're actually looking for sabotage within it.
That's fine.
All right, I'm going to use a dark side point, and it'll be a red and a purple. Because if there's sabotage, someone tried to hide it.
All right. Exclamation point R, yellow, yellow, green, boost die from my previous advantages. I'm going to just go ahead and put both of them on there. And what was the difficulty, did you say?
One red, one purple.
One red, one purple. I'll get better at listening. Did you apply any setbacks?
No.
All right.
Just my destiny point upgrade, which is already accounted for.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That is three advantages and one despair.
I am definitely figuring that at this particular point, it's going to be a zapping.
I have kind of an idea.
Okay. Hit me. I am very open to ideas.
I want my advantages to point positively or negatively towards whether or not it was sabotage. And the despair being that I triggered something in the shield generator that will cause it to poof. So if it was sabotage, it's a booby trap.
Oh, no.
I'm also going to include the, I'm assuming, still attached line from the ship.
Oh, that's right.
What I'm thinking is, you can see actually a couple pieces missing, like what the administrator said. Off to the other side of the shield generator, you can see clear cut marks from the generator to the emitter. You can see where someone has taken like a plasma torch and chopped it so that even if the generator was turned on, it would explode instead of actually putting out a shield. And by opening it up, it's reset the essentially startup command. So it goes into its testing mode, which the components that are missing start, it arcs over. And then about a second later, yeah, it explodes. The top half of the electronics of the shield generator are now just gone, thus doing five damage. Do apply your soak.
Unless the spacesuit I'm wearing has soak.
Kinda, yes. And also, yeah, the spacesuit that you've got would have at least one soak. Okay. Normally. Blessing your brawn also would apply.
Brawn applies to what?
Yeah, your soak is based on your brawn.
So it would be two of the catch vests plus my brawn too.
Yeah.
Okay, soak is starting to make more sense now.
Yay.
Okay, so one wound.
Okay, I feel less bad about that. You were able to determine that, yes, there was some sabotage done to this. On the other hand, the shield generator's also gone very energetically kaboom.
And there's no feedback on the cable to the ship or anything? So I'm going to be asking about that.
I'm going to go with yes, but it effectively gets absorbed into the ship. And like everything just sort of sputters a tiny bit, doing one strain to yon ship.
Oh, well, this is definitely not good.
You just hear over the radio, Norrin! Norrin! Are you okay? Respond, please!
I'm going to go ahead and guess that we're on a moon, so it has enough of a gravitational pull that Norrin's not going to get just blasted off into space by the force of this explosion, but did get pushed back onto their back.
Yes.
So they're kind of just lying there, looking up at the void of space and the little bit of the U-wing that they can see, and I can confirm that it was sabotage. The evidence of said sabotage is gone now, but I saw it with my own eyes.
Okay, you take a rest, I'll start fixing things up here.
I'm fine.
But congratulations, you had your first near-death experience when repairing stuff. I want to say this will be the last time, but it's not.
Bold of you to assume this was my first.
I'm just gonna assume you didn't send that across the comms.
No, that is kind of awesome.
The comms are just open, aren't they?
Yeah. I've heard it, yeah.
Whether or not you actually like heard their grumbling is up to you, but that is what they said. That
Isabella is a good captain, so she's just like, you just hear her respond back, just like,
oh, okay, so, oh, this is not your first time. Okay, get up, shake it up, let's go.
So you're going to attempt to open and see what is damaged? Appraise it before actually fixing?
Yeah, I'm on this relay, so I might as well appraise it, see if I can fix this with a couple of repair patches, some jerry-rigging.
You're able to open it up, and you can see that what would normally be a half-foot-long fuse on it has been destroyed, that it has popped for whatever reason. And in this case, very literally, like, it's got metal end, and in the middle, it is, instead of it being a tube, it is now a sphere that looks darkened. You can somewhat obviously tell that, yeah, there's no power going through that. Otherwise, it looks like the fuse did what the fuse should do, and has protected the rest of the electronics.
Just gonna get right back into comms. Okay, good news and bad news. Good news, easy fix. Bad news, it all depends on this next question I'm gonna ask. Can I page the ship to try to get in contact with Hook Hand on the ship?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, boss? What? What is it?
Okay. Hook Hand, I have a question. You're a cargo master. You know the things on the ship and what role is in the cargo hold. Do we have any spare... And I look over. Any spare fuses? And I'll just, like, describe, like, the size and general need.
Let me check. You actually hear furious flicking of flimsy plast. Let's see. Filing cabinets. Files. Yes. It does say that we have fuses. Bunch of different kinds. I think, yes, there's three here on the manifest.
We'll be over soon. We're going to have to pick up a few of those. Good job, Hookman. Just call back to everyone out here. Okay. Shen, pull Norin back to the... Wait, hold on. You know what? Isasel's going to climb down to the... to Norin before having Shen pull us back. She's like, about to jump out and going, that's dumb, even for me.
Captain, are your comms working?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yes. Give me a moment. I'm just going to find my way to Norin.
I will clip you to me. Okay, so the comms is an easy fix. We just need to fix the fuse. The shield generator, however, needs to be replaced entirely. So we can absolutely fix the damage that was done, but what do we do to prevent it from being done again? Do we do anything? Is this our responsibility? This is totally our responsibility.
Look, we need to be able to get this relay open so we can get some back and forth so they know that this place needs help and needs a specific part.
Well, yes. Obviously.
The shield generator... If we can't fix it, we will. But that's not the priority right now.
Well, yeah, I understand the order of priorities, but it's the next thing. We can fix this, absolutely. But it was sabotaged. Someone here, or with a vested interest in the workings of this mining thing, sabotaged the long-range comms. And I'm really interested to know if there's been sabotage to any other systems. Is that our responsibility? Because this was just a delivery job, right? Is it our responsibility to get involved further, or would that be overstepping?
Isasel kind of looks around, looks at the ships like... Let's talk about this on this ship. I don't want to talk about this on open comms.
I'm just imagining we are talking about it as we are getting dragged in.
Oh no. Shin hasn't pushed a button yet. No one said to pull you guys in, so Shin's just sitting there.
We're just waiting. Shen, can you push the button?
Not this one. That's not that wrong.
It's purple. This one.
Oh, I was way off.
Pushes the button and the retraction begins.
You think you would be on this side of the control panel? That's weird.
The tow cable pulls in at a very leisurely pace. You're able to scramble onto the ship without too much issue. As the ship itself starts heading towards the auxiliary hangar bays, listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on social media as The Hydean Way. And you can find me, Ben, on the socials at Deuterium or Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Erica, on a multitude of FFG-based podcasts and social medias, as detailed on my link tree, Erica Goodwitch.
You can find me, Zach, on the Tales of the Outer Rim podcast at our link tree, Tales of the Outer Rim, and GMing for a season of Tales of the Grey Library.
And you can find me, Henry, everywhere as at Sim Disorder with one Y and one I in that order.
And we are all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes. And you can find more episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Plus, you can help us out by rating, reviewing, and subscribing.
You can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you could send a team some calf at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.
Wait, is that a failure or a threat? Failure.
That's a failure.
So earlier you actually did succeed.
Nope.
Earlier was a wash and then a threat. This time is an actual failure, but a triumph.
Yeah.
Because D1 should calculate the success separate from the triumph.
And if you take a look at the dice faces, there's two failure on the purple.
Gotcha.
So,
your green came one up net blank.
And, yeah, the advantage and the threat cancel out, and the green die did nothing. Nothing. As it imitates a boost die.